Our passage of scripture today comes from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 18 and going down to verse 29. The writer of Hebrews says these words. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we, if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God, accepting with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. A new type of mountain. There's a different mountain that's happening. A different one than we know from the stories of the Hebrew Bible about Moses and Mount Sinai. About the giving of a word that was very fearful and that was very tough and that was very hard. You see, this passage shares two paths about approaching God. A narrow one and a wide one. There are two paths that are here. And sometimes we don't see it for what it is. And what the writer of Hebrews is telling us is that you can pick the narrow way or you can pick the wide way. And I know that many of you might think, well, that's not how Jesus uses this narrow and wide. He talks about the narrow way of coming to God, but the wide way that the world is walking. I want you to realize that this also applies to ways that we can approach God. There's two ways. And that wide way is a way that many people try and many people work on and many people continue to walk on even to this day. And then there's this very simple, narrow way that sometimes as a pastor I hear people say, that's just too tough. That's too hard. That's too difficult. But I really like that the writer of Hebrews lays this out in such a simple and an easy way. You see, walking up Mount Sinai, I want you to think about the people have come out of Egypt. They've come through the Red Sea. They're standing now on the edge of this mountain where God is getting ready to deliver to Moses what we refer to as the Ten Commandments, the Word of God. And they have been told that this is going to happen and that God is going to appear on the top of this mountain. And that when God appears, that it's going to be so sacred, so holy, that even if an animal touches that area, that animal should be struck dead. Now, put yourself in Moses' place for a minute. Do you think you could walk up that mountain? Do you think you could walk up that mountain to receive what God wants to bring to the people? What does it say in the book of Hebrews here? It says that even Moses said that he was terrified. He was terrified to walk up that mountain and to receive what God wanted to bring to the people of Israel. And what God wanted to bring to them at that point in time was not just the Ten Commandments, but a whole list of commandments and ordinances and statutes and laws. And all of those things really follow this rule and you'll be okay. Now, isn't that wonderful to know sometimes? Follow this rule and you'll be okay. Well, what I want you to understand, what the book of Hebrews is telling us, is the wide path is a way of trying to always get it right. Here's all the rules and regulations. If you get every one of them right, you get to go to heaven. Now, it doesn't say if you get a few of them right, you're okay. And it doesn't say if you get most of them, you'll make it to heaven. This old mount is a mount of get it right always or else. Now, that's a pretty wide path. I know some of you might say, no, that's a narrow path. Either you get it right or you don't. And the chances of me, and I'll clearly admit, the chances of me getting all of that right is the number zero. Zero. The Hebrew scholars talk about it, the Jewish scholars talk about it. They believe there are 613 commandments of God. Do you have all 613 of them memorized so you can get it right? Do you even know what all 613 are? But I want to let you know that's a pretty wide path to God. And there are many people in our society that just want to come and say, give me all the rules, give me all the regulations, tell me what's right, what's wrong, and I'll do the best I can to get it right. And then there are folks that if I get most of it right, then God has to accept me. But that's not what this way is. This way is hard and difficult. But it's wide because many people are choosing this path. When it comes to people walking with God, many people are trying to choose this path. Pastor, just stand up and tell me what's right and what's wrong so I know what directions to follow. And I hope you realize that doesn't work. Because it seems like us pastors can't decide on what's right and what's wrong sometimes. We look at the scriptures and some people say, well, this is right and this is wrong. And other people say, well, no, you're wrong because this is right. It's a difficult and it's a hard way. It was a way that God brought to the people to help the people come into a deeper understanding of God. Now, the second way that this writer talks about is approaching Mount Zion, which means Jerusalem. Coming into, and what does that mean? Does it mean that old system still of sacrifices? No, it doesn't mean that. Does it mean that old system of following rules and regulations? No, it doesn't mean that. It means accepting that God has given you grace. See, the narrow path is one of grace and relationship. One of grace and relationship. God bringing to me things that I can never achieve. God saving me. How do I know it's not the old way of sacrifice? Because in the midst of this passage, he says, "You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better than the blood of Abel." You see, this is a very narrow path. It's only one thing. It's only one way. By the sacrifice of Jesus and the blood that was poured out so that we could be forgiven. That's narrow. Only one thing. Because the truth is, no matter if I follow what the Jewish scholars believe is 613 commandments of God and get every one of them right, I'm still not going to make it to heaven. Because it all comes down to believing in Jesus Christ. It all comes down to recognizing the fact that God brings salvation to us by grace. I can't do anything to make that possible. Nothing. God says, "I give it to you because of what Jesus did for you." That's the only reason I give it to you. It has nothing to do about me. It has nothing to do about you. You see, that's a very narrow way, isn't it? Not only is it one thing, but it's the same path for everybody who wants to be saved. The exact same path. It's all about trusting in what Jesus has done for you. It is so simple, really, to share the gospel with people. There's only three things you need to help them to understand. Three things. And I'm going to make it really, really easy for you. It goes by the letters A, B, C. Anybody have any problems remembering A, B, C? I hope not, because I don't want to sing the song, okay? By the way, I do know two alphabet songs, and you don't want to know the second one I know. Because it was sung by Big Bird on Sesame Street. And that's a much different version of the alphabet song. Big Bird sees the alphabet on the sidewalk, and he tries to pronounce it as one word. Abbejeki, yeah, I can't even do it right now. He tries to pronounce it as one word, and he wonders what that one word means. A, B, C. If you want to share the gospel with somebody, the first thing they need to understand is that they're a sinner and that they cannot save themselves. No matter what they do, that's the wide road that a lot of people try to take. If I follow all the rules, regulations, commandments, ordinances, statutes, laws of God, I can make it there. No. You will fail at some point. All people are sinners. All people have done wrong. The second thing that they need to do is they need to believe in what Jesus Christ has done for them. They need to believe what this says here is that his blood and what he did on Mount Calvary is the most important thing that they need to grab a hold of. That's what it is. And they've got to believe in that. And believe in that doesn't just mean I acknowledge that as a fact. Scripturally, believe means that I'm willing to trust my whole life to that fact. I am willing to adhere to that in such a way and hold on to that in such a way because of the grace that God has for me. Because of what God is willing to do for me, even though I can never do it. And the C is I got to make a commitment. And that's one of the things that I find very lacking in a lot of Christians, is making a commitment to follow Jesus Christ and to walk with Jesus Christ as Lord, not just as Savior. Savior's asking for fire insurance. Lord says, Jesus, when you say this is the way I need to walk and this is the way I need to go, I am going to do it. I will never tell you no. There have been times in my ministry I wish I could have said no. And there are times that I have. Sometimes God asks me to walk in places that I really choose not to walk in. And I've shared some of those with you. They were hard and difficult situations. But I couldn't look at Jesus and say, no, Lord, because I made a commitment. A, B, C. All are sinners. Believe in what Jesus has done for you and make a commitment to live that way. And I'm guessing, Daniel, my batteries just went out or not? No? Okay. Maybe it's just me fading in and out then. Huh. There's a warning, though, in this passage. You see, walking the narrow way has a warning with it. And I want to read it to you again before I say something about it. Verse 25. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? God is speaking to you. God is talking to you. God is calling you to walk in a certain way in this life. God is asking you to be involved in ministry in some way. You see, here's the warning. A warning, though, comes when God speaks, you need to listen and take action. You need to listen and take action. When God says, this is what you need to do, then you need to pause because I know how it's going to happen. I've been through this many, many times in my life. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to wonder, did God really say that? And was it God that really spoke to me? Or is it one of those other voices in my head? Was it God? And then the second thing that's going to happen to you is, do I believe what God has told me or not? Do I believe that God's asking me to do this and be part of this? That God's asking me to step this way? And it goes back to, if you don't have a commitment, you'll wash out. If you don't make a commitment to follow Jesus as Lord, at that point you'll go, not doing it. Because the next thing that happens, oh gosh, I made it 20 minutes and I didn't use this word. The next thing that happens is you got to change. If you believe that God has spoken to you and you believe that God's calling you to be part of that, then 99% of the time, you got to change what you're doing to be part of that. And I know church people don't like change. Trust me, I've been in ministry 29 years now. I've heard that many, many times. So when God speaks, God wants you to take some action. God didn't speak at that moment to give you a warm fuzzy to feel good about yourself. God spoke because God wanted you to be in action about something and doing something. So this warning comes. This is a narrow path. There's only one path. There's only one way to heaven. And that one way includes making a commitment, listening to God, and following through. I know, it's tough. It's hard. It's difficult. But God, you don't understand. I got a family. But God, you don't understand. I guess the only thing I would ask you, because I've come to realize this, when you tell God no, you're automatically cutting yourself out of blessings. You're automatically basically praying this: God, I don't want any more blessings. Got enough. Don't need any more. Anybody here in that category? Don't need any more blessings? Because here's what I'm going to tell you. If you don't walk this narrow path, you will miss out on a multitude of blessings. And the people in your family, and your friends, and your co-workers, and your neighbors will also miss out on blessings because you weren't willing to follow God. A narrow way and a wide way. Pastor, just tell me how to follow all the rules and regulations. And I'll do that the best I can, and God will have to accept who I am. The narrow way, only through Jesus Christ, who talks to you and says, I need you to do these things. Because here's the truth that's in this scripture. If we continue to do it ourselves, then our world will be shaken. If we continue to control it ourselves, our world will be shaken. If we continue to live the way that we think is the best possible way to live, and it's not following Jesus, your world will be shaken. There's a multitude of people in our world that are going to stand before God one day and find out doing all the things right doesn't get them into heaven. Where are you with this? Where are you? Are you journeying the path of listening to God and following the plan God has for you? Are you journeying the path? And I've used some words very intentionally there. It's a journey. It's not over when you get saved. It's a continued journey until the day that God calls you home. It's a journey. So the call from the back seat, which is, come on, you got it. Are we there yet? No, you're not there yet because God hasn't called you home. So it's still a journey. You're still on the pathway. Now, you can choose to sit down on the pathway and never move forward. You can choose to do that. But I'm trying to encourage you, don't. Because you're going to miss out on blessings. So are you journeying the path of listening to God and following the path God has for you? If you go back to when I was age 18, which was a little bit ago, this is not the design I had for my life. To be living in Withville, Virginia, and to be a pastor of a church, this is not the design I had in my life. I remember one of my school friends coming one time, and at that time I had a long beard also. He came and he asked me, he said, "I got two questions for you." Probably one of my best friends in high school that I hadn't seen for a number of years. He said, "I got two questions for you. Why'd you move the hair from the top of your head down to here?" And the second thing he asked me was, "How did you become a pastor?" Yes, I'm not giving you his name, so you can call him and ask why he asked that question. And it gave me an opportunity to share with him the difference that Jesus Christ has made in my life. And the difference that following the narrow path that God has chosen for me has made a blessing in my life. Not only for me, but for a multitude of other people. Are you listening and following? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today because we realize that too many times in our lives we're following that wide path, that we're trying to find all the rules and regulations so that we can make sure that we check them all off, and we have done that one and done that one. And yes, Lord, we did that one right. And the truth is that will never really do anything for us. I pray for those that are here today and those that watch through the internet, if they have never made the choice to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would understand what they need to do. I remember that moment when somebody asked me, and I knew that I hadn't done it. And Lord, I pray that you would quicken hearts right now, that they would realize whether they've done it or not. It really doesn't matter whether they've joined a church or been baptized, because if they haven't made that choice to make Jesus their Lord, the scriptures tell us it's all for naught. So, Lord, I pray for those folks. I also pray for those that have made that choice, that it's not just A and B that they've done, but they've also done C. Made a deep commitment to follow you no matter what. And, Lord, we see that example throughout Scripture. And so many times we tack it up as that's too difficult, that's too hard, that's for religious folks, that's for, Lord, help us to stop there. Because the truth is, that's for us. Help us to see whether we've really made that commitment to follow you. Work in every heart as you need to. May your Holy Spirit guide and direct people to take the steps they need to take. Yes, it means change. But it's change that brings incredible blessings. And who really could stand up and say, "I don't want any more blessings"? Lord, guide us all today to make the decision we need to make to follow you more deeply. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.